We are blessed to live in the most wonderful country in the world. Of course, Israel would be in that category as well. I believe this is a wonderful land. 523 years ago, a man by the name of Christopher Columbus left Spain. He was an Italian, actually. Queen Isabella gave him permission, a commission to come looking for a route to the east, left with three ships. What are the three ships' names? Ninto, Pinto, and Santa Maria. Santa Maria means what? Saint, right? Santa. And they left, and they didn't find the route to the east, and that's why they landed in the Caribbean section, and that's why it's called the West Indies, named after, because they expected to go to India. Okay? And here we are 523 years ago later. And between the Spanish and the Portuguese, the British and the Dutch, we know that they did a lot of exploration of this area called the New World. And of course, we know the Hudson Valley. Dutch came up the Hudson Valley. That's why we have a lot of Dutch and a lot of Germans in the Hudson Valley. Okay, praise the Lord. A lot of Lutheran and Reformed churches in the Hudson Valley because of Germans, Lutheran, and Dutch Reformed churches. So praise the Lord. We live in a great country. And I was thinking about that yesterday as we was taking that ride up through the Catskill Mountains. And I remarked to Donna, I said, you know, these mountains are just like the Rockies. Okay, we came down through that pass. I wanted to come down through that other pass that comes into West Saugerties. Anybody ever been on that one? There's a sign that says, proceed at your risk. I don't think there's any guardrails there, but on this one there was. But it's amazing. You got the Catskill Mountains here. You got the Adirondack Mountains. You got the Rocky Mountains out there in the west. You got it's a wonderful country. We have this is the northeast. I believe it's one of the most beautiful sections of the country. When you go across that bridge and you see those Catskill Mountains there, and it's just beautiful. We're very thankful. We're blessed. And of course, we're blessed to be in this country in freedom and enjoy it. So we never want to take these things for granted. Okay? Praise the Lord. But you notice Christopher Columbus. Huh? They wouldn't support him. See, you know your history. That's why he went to Spain. They wouldn't support him. It would have been a... So, praise the Lord. And another thing, just to give you a little history here, there's a reason why Brazil is Portuguese and the reason why most of South America is Spanish. Because the Pope drew a line down through. And anything on this side of the line was to be Portuguese and on the other side of the line was to be Spanish. Is that right? That was a decree, I believe, by what Pope? I don't remember the Pope's name. But it's basically, that's why Brazil goes out like that, and that's Portuguese, and the other side is Spanish. So, now, we're in Romans chapter 1, and we're going to talk about something, especially any of the young people that are in high school. I want you to know very clearly, we're going to talk a little bit about this today. You're going to hear evolution in high school. It's a theory of man. We know Darwin, Charles Darwin, it was popular just before the Civil War, 1859. But remember, God is the creator. The Bible makes it very clear. We do not believe in evolution. We believe in creation. God is the one that created the heaven and the earth. Amen? And it's not in opposition to science. We have a man here. Ray Kepner, he's a biologist, he's a professor down at Marist College. He's a creationist. Okay, I'm a creationist. I'm an engineer. It's not in opposition to what my beliefs are. I was telling the guys before today, I took thermodynamics in college, and I also looked at my engineering physics book this morning. And in thermodynamics, I remember this chapter distinctly. The chapter concluded by saying, now this is a secular thermodynamics book. They said, there's no question that there is a creator. And this is by a secular thermodynamics person. So a lot of great men and women of God believe in creation. And these men and women are strongly, many of them are strong scientists and engineers and thermodynamic geologists people. So we know what we believe, we trust it, but you're going to be confronted with it. Evolution. So we're going to look at this passage, and it talks about the downward decline of man here. Starting with verse 18, I'm not sure how far we're going to get here today, because I want to make this very clear. And what Gerard read there is it talks about, first of all, the wrath of God. The Bible teaches that man left to himself will go away from God. The downward decline away from the true and living God will result in a life void of God. Brethren, we need to continually live our lives for the glory of God and to always be thankful that our eyes have been opened. Now, we cannot take any credit for this. The Holy Spirit has opened our eyes to truth. Okay, but and praise the Lord for the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. Our eyes, our hearts have been opened. You and I know when my eyes were opened, I obviously had an understanding of God. I knew about God. I wasn't an atheist. I didn't deny God, but I didn't know God as my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, until I came to that point in my life where I turned my life over to Him. The Holy Spirit worked in our hearts and brought us to that place to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our life. As it says in Colossians 3:4, He is our life. Now, Paul is bringing out here in this passage about the downward decline. And he talks, first of all, about the wrath of God here in verse 18. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. You and I know we're living in a day where we're seeing this unfolding very rapidly before our eyes. And God's wrath has been poured out in the past, and it will be poured out in the future. I'll give you two instances in the Bible, in the Old Testament. First, with Noah. We know that Noah he was asked to build an ark by our Lord. And, of course, anybody ever been to the Creation Museum down in Kentucky? Ken Ham? There's a Creation Museum. Now, Ken Ham's a creationist, like Henry Morris. These are men of God that believe strongly in creation. But they're going to build an ark. He wants to build an ark there at the same scale as the original ark was, 450 feet long. Now, typically, we see an ark, and they do it for children. They show an ark with animals hanging out the windows. That's not really the way the ark was. If you study the ark, it was long, you know, 450 feet. You know how long that is? That's a football field, right? How long is a football field? 300 feet, 100 yards. So 450 feet would be a football field and a half, I believe, if I'm right. So that's pretty big. And all the animals were in there, two by two, except on the clean animals that they were going to sacrifice. Obviously, you had to bring more than two of those because you can't sacrifice one of those or you won't have any species left after that. So that's what God was told to do, told Moses to do, build an ark, and then the animals would be brought there to the ark. And then the flood would come. Up until that point, there was probably not rain as we know rain today. Most people believe that there was a canopy over the earth that came down at the time of the flood. But we know the flood happened. That was one instance of judgment coming on the world. The second one is the Sodom and Gomorrah. We know that God brought judgment on those cities because of what was going on in those cities. And he had to go and get Lot and his wife and the daughters out of the city. And one of the saddest verses for me in the Bible is Luke 17:32. Does anybody know what it says? This is our Lord speaking. Remember Lot's wife. She turned back to look at Sodom as they're leaving. Now that's also a picture of the rapture. Right? Because God got Lot out of there and then judgment came. And so we see those judgments. And we see the wrath of God being poured out. Now, we all know that God is a God of love. That's an absolute attribute. But God has many attributes. He's truth, he's love, he's wrath, he's just. You go on and on. These are the attributes of God. Now, God is going to pour out his wrath again in the future. It's going to come. Now, there's a couple verses in 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians that talk about that we are reserved from that day of wrath. We're not appointed unto wrath. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, now notice verse 9 and 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 9 and 10. For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols. That could be called repentance there, turning to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, let me just say this very clearly. I trust everybody sitting in this can say without a shadow of a doubt, I know Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I've accepted him and received him into my life, and I believe in him truly. I trust everybody can say this. Don't put it off. Don't delay. Don't wait another day. Now is the day of salvation. Okay? If you don't come to Christ, you will face the wrath of God. We as believers will not face his wrath. Jesus Christ took the wrath of God for us on the cross. He paid the price in full. Now look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So based on those scriptures, those two we just read, we as believers, because of the grace of God and because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, are not going to face the wrath of God. Amen? And it's not because of us. It's because of what Jesus Christ has done and because we've received him into our hearts and lives. We're not appointed unto wrath. And praise the Lord for that. And we're waiting for his Son from heaven. We're looking forward to Jesus Christ coming back. So as Paul writes about this, he says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They don't hold the truth righteously. Paul's going to go, and we're doing this in our Bible Institute on Monday. We're going a little faster than what we're doing here on Sunday morning. But in chapter 3 of Romans, he says, there's none righteous, no, not one. Well, then how do I become righteous? It's through Jesus Christ. What he's bringing out there, Paul, presenting this argument, that in chapter 1, the heathen are lost. In chapter 2, the moral person's lost. And he comes to the conclusion that all are lost. There is none righteous, no, not one. So you might say, well, what do we do? Well, then, of course, chapter 3, there's a turning point there where we know that through Jesus Christ, we're redeemed. And praise the Lord for that. We are redeemed because of what Jesus Christ came to do. He came to give his life a ransom sacrifice for our sins. And so therefore, as a believer in Jesus Christ, we're not appointed unto wrath. But the wrath will be poured out on those that are ungodly and unrighteous of men. Now, of course, any ungodly or unrighteous man can come to Christ. You might say, well, I'm doomed. I'm ungodly. I'm unrighteous. No, you're not. The thief on the cross was not doomed. At the last moment of his life, he called to the Lord who was in the center there between the two thieves, and he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, today you'll be with me in paradise. Here's a man, a thief, a criminal, who deserved what he was getting, but he called to the Lord, and the Lord saved him. Any man, any woman, any boy or girl can call to the Lord, right? It doesn't matter what age they are. even at the last moments of their life, they can call to the Lord and they'll be saved and praise the Lord. And they will not face the wrath of God. It's because of the grace of God and because their heart has been opened by the Holy Spirit and they've responded to that call that's been placed on their life. But it goes on here now, and he says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in him, for God has showed it unto them. There's a theological term called general revelation. Everybody know what general revelation is? Here's what it is. You can take any man, any woman, boy or girl, any place on this earth, and they can look up and they can see the creation. And the conclusion would be, how did it get there? The conclusion would be, somebody put it there. The conclusion would be, there has to be a creator. Okay? And they would not even receive yet the specific revelation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But by just looking up, you and I know, I have water in this cup here, this glass. Does anybody think this water got here by itself? It didn't. I put it there. Okay? I came up to this building the other morning early, and I looked out by the kitchen door, and I looked up and I saw the moon, and I saw two objects in the sky. I think one is Jupiter and one's Venus. I think. They're planets. Now, the reason I know they're planets is the difference between a planet and a star. What's the difference? One twinkles, the other doesn't. Planets don't twinkle. Why don't planets twinkle? Because they're not a light bearer. Stars are light bearer. Our sun's a star. Okay? That's the nearest star to us. The next nearest star is Alpha Centauri, which is 4.3 light years away. That means the light that leaves that star takes 4.3 years to get to this earth. The sun, the light of that sun, takes 8 minutes. Because it's 93 million miles away and light travels at 186,300 miles per second. If you divide that into 93 million, you'll come out to 8 minutes, right? And so that light that you're receiving, you see right now out of that door, and that heat that you're getting from the sun left the sun. And I was thinking about that as we were riding yesterday up there in the Catskills. I said, it's incredible. Look at the light. All this light is coming from that sun. And it's lighting us here in this area of the earth. And the heat we're getting. You know, sometimes we complain about it's cold in the winter or hot in the summer. The variation between the change of temperature is small. The gradient of variation is small between a cold day in February or a hot day in August. We say it's hot out or we say it's cold out. Right? It's not much of a change. Is there? You'll say, wait till wintertime, you'll find out. But there isn't. You realize that some of these planets, the amount of change of temperature is thousands of degrees, right? God put this place here for us. We enjoy it. Yes, it's a fallen world, but still it's a great place. And we praise the Lord. So, the revelation of God. Wherever you are on this earth, you can go any place on this earth and you can look up and you can see what God put in the sky. And then you can look around and see what God put on the earth. God is the creator. That's why, young people, don't let anybody ever tell you this is a creation by evolution. It's not. It's a creation by God. God, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, right? Genesis 1:1. Basically, you take that one verse and the rest of the whole Bible rests on that verse. And then if you come to the New Testament, we see the creator is Jesus Christ. All things were created by him and for him. God is the creator. He's the creator, not evolution. You know, evolution is such a false theory. It doesn't even fit scientifically. There's no way. Everybody know the second law of thermodynamics? Okay. Here's this law. You learned it in general science in grade school, high school. matter cannot be created or destroyed. It can only be transformed from one form of energy to another. You cannot create matter. You cannot create. Everything you see on this earth has been created by God. Now, the word creation or create is used in the Old Testament in Genesis. It's a Hebrew word, bara, B-A-R-A. That means create out of nothing. There's only one person that can create things out of nothing. That's God. We use the word create when we say, wow, that's some creation you did. But that word creation there is not the same word as creating out of nothing. Everything that you and I create, we create out of something, right? Okay? Only God can create out of nothing. In the beginning, there was only God. There was nothing except God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he created. He created the heavens and the earth. He created the angels, right? And then, you know, all you have to do is go back to Genesis. And you look back to Genesis chapter 1. And you see how God created the... You know, this is so basic. But yet man, in his thinking that he's very knowledgeable, has said, no, we don't believe that. We believe that it evolved. And it was... I believe in the Big Bang Theory. God said it and it was done. But I don't believe in the Big Bang Theory that's given in these classes where something happened millions, and they always add time to it, billions of years, in order to try to formulate their evolutionary theory. And by the way, when you see these skeletons that they have, don't buy that. A lot of that, those skeletons, are just a fragment. And they make a model out of a little fragment of a bone they found. Okay? Or the Neanderthal man. You know, he walks like this. He had arthritis in his spine. Okay? The Nebraska man. That's a pig's tooth they found. And they put this big model together. This is... You know, they find these, do I believe in cavemen? Yes. Anybody that lives in a cave is a caveman. But they go through this whole evolutionary process. And, you know, but they're saying something climbed out of the ocean, some slime like millions of years ago. So this is all stuff that man has bought into. Charles Darwin in 1850s had come across this theory, and now that theory was shoved down the throats of people. And then even the church bought into it. The church was a little afraid that this possibly could be true. So they came along with what's called theistic evolution. This theistic evolution means that God started it, and then he let evolution take a process. That's not true either. The Bible's true, right? Amen? That's what you want to hold to, and that's what we want to teach our children. And by the way, if any of your children or teens need to have any more teaching on this, see us. We have a whole series from Ken Ham, back to the Bible, on creation and how it came about. So be careful what they're being taught. Okay? I think it's very bad that they allow this. I think at least they should do this, give a model. Say, here's one model, here's another model. Here's a model of evolution, here's a model of creation. At least in honesty, they ought to teach that. Even if we had a Christian school, I would teach the evolutionary teaching in order to enlighten our students to what's being taught, but I'd make very clear they understood this is a model of man, not a model of God. And we would definitely teach the creation. That's the key. So you gotta, and you know, because they'll say you're not very intelligent. You don't have much intelligence because you believe in the Bible. No, if you believe in the Bible, it's wonderful. You're not some guy that walked out of the backwoods someplace and just don't know what's going on. A lot of these men and women that believe this are true scientists and true believers in Jesus Christ. In fact, most of your early scientists like Faraday and Kepler and Newton were creationists. Did you know that? All they were doing was discovering what God already had put there. That's what we do. You know? And then we think we're so intelligent. We discovered electricity. Well, God already put the electrons there. All we did is put them into some fashion to make it work, right? And now, what is entropy? Now, let me just tell you something. How many, you drove here today, right? Your gas tanks, are they fuller when you left home or less full? Less full, right? You're going to fill your gas tanks up. They go empty. This glass, is it going to get fuller or less full? As I drink it, it'll get less full. Entropy says everything goes from a higher state to a lower state. That's how the universe works. You wind up a clock, you have to wind it up again. It doesn't become, you know, better, and you don't have to wind it up anymore. Everything goes downhill. You know that. But evolution says it goes from a lower state to a higher state. No. We know things go from a higher state to a lower state. The only way it can change is if you inject into it. You have a house, you're constantly repairing it, painting it, right? Anybody not do that? If you don't do it to your house, what's going to eventually happen to it? It's going to go downhill fast, okay? Same way with your car. But evolution would say, no, it's going to go better. I like to see that, okay? So be careful what they're being taught. And this, what he's saying here is this, because that which will be known of God is manifest in them, God has showed it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Listen, we already mentioned Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Well, look at Psalm 19:1. Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. The heavens declare that. You look up in that sky, I'll tell you, it's incredible. I remember, I've told you this before, there was a missionary, and they were down on the equator in Africa, and they told me they saw an incredible sight. They saw the Big Dipper, and they saw the Southern Cross. Nobody can see the Southern Cross in the Northern Hemisphere. It's a constellation in the Southern Hemisphere. The Southern Hemisphere has constellations in the Northern Hemisphere, but they were right at the line where they could see Southern Hemisphere and Northern, and they said it was an incredible sight. They saw the Southern Cross and the Big Dipper. Okay? Who did that? Who put those constellations in there? Now, there's a lot of discussion about Mars. Now, have you seen the latest on the internet about Mars? They found a spoon on Mars. Did anybody see it? It looks like a spoon. They also found something that looks like pyramids. They also found a helmet. Got the New York Giants on it. No. No, but, you know, it's just a formation that looks like that. Okay, but they're trying to make it, they're trying to put a lot of what a mystery into this, like there's might have been some people on there. They left a spoon there. I'll tell you one place where they're going to find something, the moon. They're going to find a LEM module. The bottom of the LEM is there. When they landed there, it stayed there, and they took off from the moon. Okay, there's also a flag there. You know what flag it is? United States of America, right? I think there's a golf ball up there, too, where one of the guys hit a golf ball. And so, you know, God did this. He put it here. He created us. He created the animals, the trees. You know, The Lord did all this. And praise the Lord. So the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. You know, you look up and you see what God did. And that's the way it is. So he says they're without excuse. Now, and you know, from the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. We can see what God has done. Okay? And praise the Lord. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and his Godhead, so they are without excuse. Okay? So any man is without excuse. Now, obviously, we need more of the specific revelation. We have the general revelation, which is creation. That you're going to see anywhere on this earth. Anybody that looks out, wherever you are on this earth, have to recognize, how did that get there? Okay, right? You know that. When you come in and you see something, you say immediately, how did it get there? How did this building get here? Did it just pop out of the ground? It'd be nice if that happened. We want to put an all-purpose building up. It'd be nice if all of a sudden we went out this after the service and we saw the all-purpose building sitting there. That's not going to happen. We're going to have to pray about it and wait on the Lord and see if the Lord wants us to do it. And it'll happen if that's his will. But it's not going to happen just if you walk out. It'd be nice and say, wow, there's the building all done, what, ready to walk into. Okay? So, that's the way it works. That's how God created things. And he's shown man how these things are. We can see it. We can understand this. But, see, these people come along and they say, no, God didn't. There's no such thing as God. He didn't do any of this. It came about by some evolutionary process, which is totally false. Now, he goes on here, and we're going to be stopping soon, but it says in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. There's a downward decline. There's a knowledge of God. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Be careful. We have to be careful that we don't move away from the truth of God. And that's, I hate to say this, but I'm saddened by what's happened in this country. Many of our original founders were God-fearing men and women. They may not all have been evangelical believers, as we know what an evangelical believer is, but they understood the evil heart of man. Why do you think they had three divisions in the government for checks and balances? So the President of the United States can't just make executive orders and override Congress. Okay? It was not intended to be that way. It was intended to have a balance of powers because they knew the evil heart of man. When you have the evil heart of man, he will try to overcome these things in the right way and do his own thing. We have to trust God, and we have to trust what God has done. Okay? If I'm left to myself, guess what? I'm going to go in the wrong direction fast. I need God's word. I need God's spirit. I need God's church for accountability. Because if I don't, I'll do my own thing. And I'll start to move away from God. That'll happen. It'll happen in our families. It'll happen in our homes. It'll happen in our churches, our marriages, you name it. And pretty soon, we're out in left field, way away from God. We need to trust the Lord and live by his way, not our way. There's a way that seems right unto man but leads to destruction. God's way is the right way. Okay? So when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. What is the chief end of man? It's to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. What is the chief end of Grace Bible Fellowship? To glorify God, not glorify us. We're not here to glorify us or pat ourselves on the back. We're here to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and glorify him. Not that we don't encourage people and are very thankful for people and what they do. We all obviously do that. Okay? But when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Listen, have you thanked the Lord lately? I trust every day we get up, we thank God for another day to live. Every breath you take is because God has enabled you to take it. I know when God wants me home with him, I'm going to stop breathing. Okay? I know that. I don't know when that's going to happen. It'll happen someday. And God will call me home. I'm not in any fear of that. I'm in thanks, like Paul says in Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Right? So every breath I take is allowed by our Lord. And praise the Lord for that. And we're to be thankful. Thankful for everything he gives us. Thankful for the water we drink, the food we eat, our families. And that's how we need to be. We need to teach our children to be thankful. Not just for the big things of life, but the little things of life. You know, as we rode up through the Catskills and I looked at those leaves, I said, wow, they're beautiful. God has given us the privilege to look at these leaves. In a little while, he's going to give us the privilege to see snow. Amen? Huh? You know, there's nothing like snow. But you know what I mean? We have the privilege to see this. We have the privilege, you know, God has given us ability to taste, the ability to see, the ability to enjoy one another. Lord, I'm just so thankful for all the blessings. In Ephesians 5:20 and 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Giving thanks, even for the tough times. Hey, listen, don't try to get out of the tough times because the tough times will make you better. Right? That's the key. You know, when I go through a tough time in my life, it just draws me closer to the Lord. I need to trust him. I can't do it myself. I need the Lord every moment of my life. And he's there. Okay? You know, he'll give you the peace that passes understanding whenever you're going through something. And it's tough when people are going through tough times. But through those tough times, you'll realize who is going to bring you through with a high hand, a hand of victory. It's the Lord. And that we need to be thankful. But they became vain, he says, in their imaginations. It means their imaginations were foolish. I'm going to continue on with this next week, but I want you to go to Psalm 14. A fool. What is a fool? Look what it says in Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. A person is a fool to say there's no God. There's a song we used to sing quite often. I remember when we first came to the Lord. In the stars is handiwork I see. Right? Do we have that in the hymn book? Okay. In the stars is handiwork I see. You look up. Look up tonight. I think it's going to be clear tonight. Look up. Look at the stars, the North Star, the Big Dipper, the twins. Okay. All these constellations. All these, the Milky Way. Who put them there? God did. Who put this planet here? God did. Who put our original parents here? God did. You ever see the baby pictures of our original parents? The baby pictures of our original parents is a pile of dirt and a rib. You ever see that? Saying that God created it right from the dirt and then from the rib? But, you know, God created man. He created the earth. He created the heavens. He created the stars. He created the animals. He created the vegetation. And praise the Lord. And so when you look up, and how could I say, if I say there's no God, I'm a fool. There is a God. And like I said, we're going to look at that verse, but I just want to look at one more. It's in John chapter 1. This is so wonderful to know this. Ray, you're a biologist. You believe in creation, right? Amen. There's a man. He teaches biology. But he's a biology professor at Marist College. But he believes strongly in creation. Okay? And like I said before, I believe strongly in creation. Because God's word teaches it. Now look at, and we're going to close with this. In John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's Jesus Christ, the Word. The same was in the beginning with God. See, he always was. Jesus Christ is not a created being. He always was. He's the second person of the Trinity. The first person is God the Father. The second person is God the Son. The third person is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. One God, not three gods, one God revealed in three persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now listen here what it says about the Word in verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now how did he make it? He made it out of nothing. Like we said, the word creation or made can be two different words. One word, meaning here or back there in Genesis, means that God created out of nothing. When we create or make something, we make it out of something that's already existed on this earth. That's all we're doing. All we're doing is taking matter or material here and putting it together to make it work. And that's what scientists do. They figure out that, and they put these things together, and they get them to work. We continually do this. Praise the Lord for their intelligence that God has given them to be able to do these things. But God put all the original matter here for us to do that. Now, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So here he's talking about Jesus Christ, the writer, John, the apostle. He says he's the Word. He's the eternal Word of God. Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. He always was. And then at some point in time, he created. There was only, if you were to go back, which we can't, if we were to go back to eternity past, only one would be there was God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's it. And then creation came about. Okay? Here we are. And praise the Lord for that. The ability for you to think and reason is given by God. God gives animals what's called instinct. Bees down in Mexico can keep a beehive at within 1 or 2 degrees. When it gets real cold, they produce energy. When it gets real hot, they become an air conditioner. And they keep the beehive within a degree or two. Who gave them that ability to do that? God did. Who gave monarch butterflies the ability to fly to Mexico this time of year, and then reproduce down there, and then the siblings come back up here, right? That's what happens. And other animals are able to do certain things because God's given them the ability to do that. God gave them what was called, we call instinct, but he's given us the ability to reason and make decisions. They make decisions based on instinct. We make decisions and are able to reason based on what God has given us in intelligence. But God gave it all to us. Praise the Lord. So you're giving all the praise and honor and glory to God? You believe in creation or evolution? We believe in creation because the Bible teaches it, and that's the truth. Amen? And we also believe in that God not only created us, but he sent Jesus Christ as our Redeemer. Not only did he create us, but he loved us so much he came down to this earth and lived among us and died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead. And the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I'm not only belong to God by creation, but I also belong to God by redemption. Amen? Amen. I'm created by God, and so are you, and we are not only created, we're talking about our original parents, of course, we're offspring of them, and Noah and his three sons, but the creation, and then the creator, the Lord Jesus Christ, became a man and lived among us. He was born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem. He lived a perfect life. He died for our sins. He rose from the dead. And the Bible says that he loved you so much and he loves me so much that he was willing to give his life a ransom sacrifice for you and for me so that I can be with him forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's my creator. He's my redeemer. Amen. Give God a praise. Amen. Glory to God in the highest. We're going to close.